Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Your Half Hour Inspirational Programming. This is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. The Dr. Jesse Walker Show airs every Tuesday, from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's broadcast is Your Half Hour Inspirational Program that airs every Friday from 7 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, this show is brought to you as a testament of how good God is in my life and the number of people that are out there whose lives God has also demonstrated his blessings in, which is, in fact, should be all of us. As we talk about his love, I talk about the blessings that he's bestowed upon us and everything. So, This show is about a testament to how good God is in my life and the lives of people who have shared their stories with me from time to time, just to let you know how good God is and the wonderful things that he's doing in various people's lives. Tonight we invite the presence of his holy word into our lives. Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you now for everything that you have done for us and those things that you're continuing to do. And those very things that you will do for us in the coming days. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Tonight's broadcast is In God's Hands. In God's Hands. And when I think about hands, and I want you to think about it, too. What do you think about when you think about hands? When I think about hands, I think about what hands are used for. What do we use our hands for? Our hands play a significant role in our lives. If you don't think that that's true, try getting to the point where you've broken maybe a hand, a finger, a couple of fingers on that hand, or the whole hand has to be in a cast, and you don't have access to that hand. Well, the good part is you have another hand that you can use, and with that hand, you may be able to get some things done, maybe not as fast perhaps as you would had you been able to have access to both of your hands, but you nevertheless you can still get something done with one hand. When you got two hands, you're able now to carry more things, you're able to lift more things, you're able to get more things done with two hands. Well, hands are used for carrying things, lifting things. Hands are used for a variety of things. Hands are used to reach out and hold somebody else's hand. Hands are used to touch someone. Hands are used to write expressions of love, love letters. Hands are used to write notes. Hands are used for, like I said, a variety of purposes. When I think about God's hands, I think about how powerful his hands must be. That God can, you know, perhaps, you know, I'm told that he wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. you know, when I think about his hand and I think about how he holds us in the palm of his hand, when I think about God's hand, I'm just thinking about how good that has to feel. I mean, how really truly good that has to feel to know that, you know, we can be safe in his hand. You know, there's a song that goes, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And that song, I remember singing that growing up as a kid. It made me feel, wow, I feel safe that God has the whole world in his hands. And so even though we're faced with some trying times, as we hear about the rampage of disease, Ebola on the uprise and hitting various countries all around the world, you know, we have to, one can only realize that, you know what, God's got the whole world in his hands. So whatever is going on, whether it becomes, you know, we're hoping that it doesn't become an epidemic, but whatever is going on, we have to trust that God has got the whole world in his hands, and that we can be safe with that. Well, Webster defines hands as the functions or activity. The function or activity of this part of the human body as an instrument for grasping or gripping, as well as symbol for authority, power, and control. The world has coined many phrases that convey numerous meanings. To the point that they convey numerous meanings to the use of this word. You know, sometimes we use words like hands make like work, out of hand. You know, some people get out of hand. I've got a hand that to you. We have many phrases that we've come off with. Hands off, second hand. We even talk about changing hands, you know, shaking hands. You know, these are just but a few of the things that we've come to accept. Now, when we think about the Word of God, you know, selection of hands, it's used in some cases to describe the very character of God. You know, when we talk about, you know, the hand of God, like I mentioned earlier, he's got the whole world in his hand. The very character of God in caring for his own dear children. Now, there are a number of verses. There are a number of verses out there that go on to talk about things that portray God's hands as his instrument of power, you know, an instrument of his protection, the provisions, you know, his comfort, you know, his healing, you know, even hands associated with healing. Laying hands on one, guidance, and, of course, direction. You know, so when we think about hands, God's got the whole hand, whole world in his hands. That becomes so important. When I think about that, I think about a story. I think about a story about a child that was stuck up in a tree. And many of you all may have heard this story, and I'm going to tell you the version that I recall, the story about a young girl that was stuck up in the tree, and it was kind of high up. She had climbed up there and going after something, and she was screaming out to her father to get her down, and the father didn't have a ladder to climb up. He didn't have anything to really get up there because the girl being smaller, he was able to just climb up there, and the father couldn't get up there like she did. And, you know, sometimes kids have these small bodies where they can maneuver, where older folk who have put on extra weight and, of course, a lot taller, they don't have that ability to do what those kids are able to do. Well, the father told the girl he didn't have any ladder or anything around at the time, and the girl was crying frantically, and the father's sensing this out there in the yard, and the mother's watching, and he said to the girl, he said, jump. And he told her, jump, and I will catch you. Jump, I will secure you. Jump, I will protect you. Jump, I will make sure that you don't hit the ground. I've got you. I've got you. And the little girl, of course, being human and frail, was frightened, even not being sure that her daddy had the ability to catch her in his hands, in his arms, to secure her enough to shake off her fear, her phobia of being afraid to jump. And so the father kept insisting, jump, until he got to the point that he could persuade her, you know, to instill the confidence in her, to send that message out there enough to her that she could have the confidence, have the assurance that her father would catch her with his hands, his arms, and that his hands were strong enough. You know, his arms are strong enough to secure her body as she would come to the ground. But within that little girl had to be something also. She had to develop within an instant the ability to trust her father. And so within that, it had to be something that she had to either make a decision on, whether she was going to stay up there until maybe help came later. But the longer she was up there, the more frantic she became, the more frightened she became, and the more uncomfortable it started to get for her, the more nervous, the more trying it had become for her. And so now, somehow or another, she built up the confidence and the strength to make the decision to say, well, you know what, I've got to do this here because I'm nervous. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. And I can only imagine that the little girl being so frightened and not knowing anything to do. And so she said, well, I'm going to, in her mind, she's about 5 years old, but in her little young mind, she's thinking that this is daddy. This is daddy. Daddy's got to get me. Daddy's got to protect me because that's what daddies do. They keep, you know, they provide for the family. They protect us. And, of course, I'm sure her mind is not developed to the state where she can analyze all of these things. But somewhere along the way, within her ability to trust her father, all of these things came into play with the fact of the one thing that she decided to do, and that was to trust daddy. And so she did jump. When she made the decision, from his persuasion, his voice, the strength of his voice, the confidence in his voice, the power of his voice, the authority within his voice was enough to connect to that little girl. And so now she's no longer relying on herself. She's relying on his voice, the magnitude of his voice, the power in his voice, the thoughts in his words, the confidence that she began to instill where the connection began to come. And you see, that's how it is with us, with God. God is saying, I don't care if you're 70 years old. I don't care if you're 75 years old. I don't care if you're 95 years old. I don't care if you're 155 years old, if anybody has lived to that point now and now time. But God is saying, I've got you, and I've always had you in the palm of my hands. I've got the whole world in my hands. I've got you. I've got you. You know, and all you need to do is establish that connection with me. You need to know that in my voice, in my word is power. In my transactions with you is power. In my thought process as I present to you that I am that I am, that I've got this. I've got you, and I've always had you. I created you. I created you in my image, in my likeness. I did this. This is what God is trying to tell us. I need that relationship with you. And see, when we can have that relationship with him, just like the little girl had with her father, that relationship, that confidence, and as she decided that she sprung with her little limbs, she began to spring forward in her motion to jump. Now she had fully made that decision that I'm going to go with daddy and trust him all the way. And all of that of the analysis was gone out of the window because once she began to trust him, because her mind isn't developed enough to analyze anyway. But she could think, that's daddy. If daddy says he can do it, then daddy will do it. If daddy says he can do it, Daddy will do it. Daddy will hold me because I believe in my Father. And see, that's what God wants us to be able to do. He wants us to be able to believe in him. He wants us to be able to trust him where we can't trace him. He wants us to know that he's so powerful that even when we have fallen, he can give us the strength to get up and make another day. And we keep falling. He says, get up, my child. Get up and keep going. Then each time that you fall, you're going to get up and you're going to be stronger. And he says, one day you're going to stop falling. You're going to stop falling because now you're going to have the strength because I have given you the strength. I have stretched out my hand to you. I've stretched out my hand. I've stretched it forward. And now I'm carrying you and I'm pulling you to give you enough strength to walk on your own. And see, that father, as that little girl, she jumped. And I can only imagine on her way down the woo that she felt. If it had been on a merry-go-round, she'd have felt good with that woo. But because there was a connection of fear within her being, this wasn't one of those woo feelings. This had the negative pack of, oh, I'm scared. That's what was there. But as she was coming down, she was only trusting. And in her young mind, prayerful, the mother, she stood by and watched her child. And the mother is standing there and she's saying, don't you drop my child. Don't you drop my child. Don't you drop my child. Even though the mother may have felt that she couldn't do this part, that the father could do it. But the mother could do it if she had to do it. But let me tell you, all she's thinking is, don't drop my child. Don't hurt my child. I'm believing in you. And I need you to be strong to get my little girl. And sure enough, I'm sure that this mother, I am sure that this mother, as she stood by, she's not just saying in her mind, don't drop him. She's praying to God. God, please give him strength. God, please give him power. God, please have the angels of mercy and comfort about him that he will catch my child. And that's what the mother is doing. She's standing by praying. So as this little girl is on her way down with fear in her heart and trust in her mind, her spirit, her body, her soul, and as she comes down, that father now, as he stands there, he is waiting patiently. He has positioned himself, and he's getting in the position of strength and power so that when this girl comes down, he has braced himself, that he's prepared for everything that could possibly go wrong in a split second as he communicated with her. And he says, I've got this here. And he says, I can't take my eyes off of her. My child could lose her life. And as that child becomes coming down, that father has braced himself. The mother there, she's praying to God that he would have mercy on her child and be able to prepare enough that this man could hold her daughter in the palm of his hands. And as that man braced himself, no matter what the distractions were around him, it could have been the wind is blowing. It could have been that a little bug flew in his eye, but that father knew not to take his concentration off of that child. And that's the same way that God has it for us. You see, God could be multitasked, though, because he is God. He can look all around and he can do all of these things and he can take care of us at the same time because God is everything. Unlike man, man, we got to stay focused on one thing at a time. We're able to stay focused because this little child's life may have depended on it. But see, God can be multitasking because he is the great God. And as this child now, she begins to come, she's coming down, just imagine this in slow motion. She's coming down, and she's coming down, and as you notice with gravity, as you start to fall, faster. You know, the more you're falling, the faster you begin to fall, and the more impact it has. So this father, realizing all of that, he didn't have to be a scientist to know it. Just somehow or another, that's why he began to brace himself. The natural elements begin to kick in when he's got to now try and save his child's life, possibly save her life. All of his natural instincts begin to kick in. That coupled with the thought that the mother has confidence in him, she has trust in God and confidence in him, enough that he's not going to drop this kid. And so now is that little girl comes down, and that mother's heart is racing with fear, anxiety, all the emotions. You know, trust and all the emotions are crumbled up into her because this is her life. This is her child's life, which is now coupled with her life. If anything happens to her child and she witnesses that, that mother's life will never be the same again. And that father knowing that everything now rests with him. He's got confidence that God's going to hold him up as he embraces himself, as he braces himself, and lo and behold now, as she's coming down, and he wants to even blink his eye because he feels, can I do this? But he doesn't lose the confidence. He begins to, he wants to blink, but he knows that he can't blink. You know, the wind starts to come and all sorts of things, and that's how the devil is. When we're trying to stay focused, the devil is always possibly trying to come at us to distract us. But you know, it's when we begin to become distracted, that's when he starts to get us. You see, but lo and behold, when we can turn our eyes and keep them upon Jesus, that's when we know that we're going to be all right because the connection is there. And so the little girl, she's coming down and she's crying out, Daddy, Daddy. She's crying out, Daddy. And so now as he's braced himself in with the mother standing there beside her, praying, she comes on down from afar. It seems like to her it was 16 to 20 stories high, when it may have only been 2 feet, two or three stories above. But to that little girl, it was an eternity. It was 37,000 feet above sea level. That's what it was to her. But to that mother, it seemed like an eternity for her having to wait. And for the father, his life was all in this too. Because for one, if he dropped her, the mother was going to kill him. And number two, but anyway, that's probably how he felt, because that's what the mother was thinking. I can tell you that. But I will tell you this. He braced himself. And as that little girl came on down, as she came down, the father caught her. He was prepared, and he caught her, and he caught her securely where she was safe and sound in with his hands and his arms. And he reached on and grabbed her and held her tight to let her know that she was secured and that let her know that she was okay. And then he gave the child to the mother. The mother was crying with tears all over. She hugged her daughter. You know, now she too had her in the palm of her hands. And that story, my friends, is a true story. And it's a story that lets us know that no matter how far we have gone away from Christ, we're so distant out there in space, it may seem. Our distance may be measured with our distance from God. But you see, God is waiting with outstretched hand to say, my child, I'm waiting for you to come back to me. My child, I have never left you. You have left me. But my child, I am always in a position. I'm already braced. I've already braced myself. I'm just waiting to catch you. I'm just waiting to hold you. I'm just ready to reach out my hand. My hands are already outstretched for you. I'm just ready for you to show me that you want me to walk hand in hand with you. I'm just ready for you to not be weary. I'm just ready for you to know that, you know what, I've got you and that you're going to be okay. He's letting you know that. And you know what? You've got to have that confidence. You've got to have that assurance that God's got your back. You know, he's got the whole world in his hands. And you see, to us, that seems like a lot. And it is, but that's to us. But to God, that's nothing, because he's the one that created it all. You see? And so that's what we've got to rely on, is the whole world in his hands, and he can do it for us. You see? So that's the thing. He's got the whole world in his hands. That's his love for us. You think God would actually create a world that he couldn't care of? No, not the God that I serve. Not the God that I serve. God has got it, and we need to know that. He's got it, and it's all good. You see? So that's what it is. So that's the whole deal. That's the whole deal. So now we're looking at, what is it? What is it that we can do to make sure that we have that trust in God? What is it that we can do to have that assurance in God? What is it that we can do to know that He's got our back? Well, I'll tell you this. What we can do is we can learn to trust God where we can't trace Him. We can learn to say, you know what, God, even though I'm not perfect, I'm going to accept you right where I am. I am. I'm going to accept you where I am. And God, I'm just going to go forward. I'm just going to go forward. I'm going to just give it to you with confidence, knowing that, you know what, like the father who stretched out his hand and held on to his little girl, God, I'm going to put my hand in your hands. And see, when you put your hands in God's hands, you know what? That are out there. There are no better hands that are out there. And God will see you through. I am so confident of that. When we connect our hands with God's hands, that is all you need. We're running up on coming out of time, but I do want to read something to you. I want to read to you. Nothing's hidden from God. There's a songwriter that wrote a beautiful piece. And he says in his writing, this is what he wrote. He said, "Our times are in thy hand, Father. We wish them there. Our life, our souls, our all we leave entirely in thy care. Our times are in thy hand. Why should we doubt or fear? Our Father's hands will never cause his child a needless tear. Our times are in the hand, Jesus the crucified. The hand our many sins have pierced is now our guard and guide." And you know what? I think that that's enough to be repeated, because I want people to digest that. I really do. I want you to think about that piece. Our times are in thy hand, Father, we wish them there. Our life, our souls, our all we leave entirely in thy care. Our times are in thy hand. Why should we doubt or fear? Because our Father's hands will never cause his child a needless tear. Our times are in thy hand, we pray, Jesus, the crucified. The hand our many sins have pierced is now our guard, our guide. So I want you to let that be a thought that resonates with you. It comes from a song, and the songwriter, I'm not sure who the songwriter is at this time, but I want that to resonate with you. When you think about the times that you may be going through, no matter how rough, think about putting your hand in God's hands. And I trust that this program has been a blessing to you as much as it has been to me. And if it has, I want you to do this. Tell somebody about it. Let somebody know how much God has blessed you so that they too can be a blessing to someone else. Tell somebody about this show. Let them know you are blessed and share the message with them. I tell you to join us next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you, of course, choose to bypass next Tuesday, join us again live here next Friday from 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So until next Tuesday or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.